So good morning. It is a good morning. It's good to see you. Just want to kind of take time to try to make eye contact with some of you and all of you if I can, right? It's good to see all of you. You know, you are a gift. You are. Thanks for being here today. I'm really glad that you're here. Excited for what God is going to do in our time together, and that we're just going to keep pressing into this series talking about the armor of God. And I pray that God richly blesses you, and I pray that he speaks deeply into your spirit. And we're talking about today the truth, the belt of truth. And my prayer is that we would hear the voice of truth. There's lots of voices out there, but we need to be wise and in tune to where we recognize the right voice. And so we're listening for the voice of truth, the voice of Jesus. Story is told about a woman that was married to a real miser. I mean, like every time she would leave the house, he would say, "Honey, remember, look but don't buy." And she's like, "Yes, honey, I got it. And so one day she was going to go into town and she was going to do a little shopping. And he said, "Honey," and she goes, I know, "look but don't buy." And so she heads into town and she's walking downtown. She walks by the storefront and there's a mannequin with this beautiful dress. And she's like, no harm in just trying this thing on, right? So she goes in and she tries the dress on and wow, it fits really good. She's standing in front of the mirror and she hears this voice. And she's like, well, long story short, she shows back up at the house and she's got a box under her arm and her husband looks at her and says, "Honey, what did," and she goes, I know, "look, but don't buy." She goes, "But I was standing there, I was wearing this dress, it felt so good, it looked good, and then I heard," honestly, I think it was the devil, and he just told me that I looked really good in that dress. And he said, "Well, we know what to say, don't we? We say, 'Satan, get thee behind me.'" She said, I told him, and he said, "I look really good from that angle too." So I knew I just had to buy it and take it home. But we need to understand and be listening for the real voice of truth. There's lots of voices out there. We need to make sure we're hearing the right voice, that of truth. So as we begin this morning, I want to do a quick recap of where we've been and what this looks like. Every morning we wake up, and I encourage you to just swing your legs out from the covers and you put your feet on the ground, on the floor, and you say, "Lord, I'm reporting for duty. And Lord, I'm putting on this armor. And I'm going to start with the helmet of salvation." And it reminds me, this helmet reminds me that I'm saved, right? I may wake up and I got a headache, or I may wake up and the kids aren't listening. I may wake up and I think I got some difficult things to accomplish today. But you know what? As I put on this helmet of salvation, I realize I'm reminded that I'm saved. And that puts a little giddy up in my step, man. That gives me something to celebrate, of things to be joyful for. And I'm putting on that and I'm reminded that I'm saved. I'm saved from hell. I don't have to go to hell. That's what I deserve, but I don't got to go there no more, right? I'm saved to heaven. I get to go to heaven. I don't deserve it, not at all, but through the righteousness of Jesus and his shed blood, the gift that he has given me, I get to go to heaven. And I'm also reminded that Jesus came that I might have life. Right here, right now, to the fullest, like the best life here and now. And I put on that helmet of salvation and I'm reminded, Lord, that I'm not my own. This isn't my life to be making decisions, that I have been bought and redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and that I am his. And then I'm also reminded that you hold me in your hands, Father, and no one is able to pluck me out of your hands. It's such a beautiful thing to be reminded, man. You get there and then you're like, but then, God, I put on this breastplate of righteousness. And this breastplate of righteousness reminds me of three important things. Number one, I'm reminded of the imputed righteousness of God. That Jesus did all the heavy lifting. He did all the work and all I did was simply put my trust in him. He said, "I lived, I died, I rose again for your sins. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So all we do is believe, and then he puts his spirit in us. And now when God looks at us, Lord, I don't understand it, but when you look at me, you don't see the vile, wicked sinner. You see the righteousness of Jesus. It's that imputed righteousness. When I put on that breastplate, I'm reminded that when God looks at me, he sees righteousness. He sees me justified, just as if I had never sinned. And then, and as I put on that breastplate of righteousness, I'm also reminded of the imparted righteousness of Christ. That I believe in him, so he puts his spirit in me, and that gives me the ability to actually live it out, to actually live a right life, to actually live righteously, to actually live a holy life. And the third thing about that breastplate of righteousness is it reminds me that there's a world out there that needs to see Jesus today. That there's enough people out there that say that they follow Jesus, but they live as if they don't even know who he is. And so I'm reminded with this breastplate of righteousness that I need to walk the walk the best I know how. I need to be Jesus to a world that is dying and on their way to hell without him. I need to be the best picture of Jesus that I can possibly be. And then, Lord, I hold up that shield of faith. Remember? Pow! Right? And that shield of faith reminds me of some important things. Like, what is faith? Faith is simply taking God at his word. He said it, I believe it, that settles it. Done, right? How do I get faith? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. So God, I need to be in your word every single day. So when you hold up that shield of faith, it reminds you, I got to get in the word every single day. How do I get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That shield of faith also reminds me that faith doesn't shelter me from hard times. Jesus promised, really, in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you're going to have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have already overcome the world. So having faith doesn't shelter us, but we're reminded with that shield of faith that we are saved through faith. We are justified through faith, and we are strengthened through faith. And we hold up that shield of faith. What does it do? Scripture says it blocks the fiery arrows of the devil, right? Because the devil's going to come at you hard and heavy and tell you what a loser you are and that you've done too much and been too long and all this stuff, you're not worthy and stuff like that. And you go, pow! And you're like, no, I am not who the world says I am. I'm not who you say I am, devil. I'm not even sometimes who I say I am. I am who God says that I am. Father, you say that I am blessed coming in and blessed going out. You say that I am more than a conqueror through Christ. You remind me that I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of my testimony. You remind me that the greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You remind me that you got plans to bless me and prosper me, to give me a hope and a future, Lord. And I hold up that shield of faith and it blocks those fiery arrows. I'm not. No, no, no. I am who you say that I am. And it's a powerful, powerful thing to hold up that shield of faith. And today we're going to talk about the belt of truth. And so I want us to read our text for this series, Ephesians chapter 6. If you have your Bible and want to follow along, the words will also be on the screen. But Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read this, 13 through 17, talking about the armor of God. The scripture says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The belt is a really great thing to have. Do you notice that? You ever contest to that? Like it's already kind of daunting to think about marching off into battle. I don't need to be worrying about if my pants are going to fall down around my ankles, right? Having a belt on is a really good thing. I'm just saying, right? The belt, though, sets you free, right? The belt sets you free. When you wake up in the morning and you put on the armor of God and you put on that belt of truth, it reminds you, you are declaring your freedom.
right? You are not subject to the devil and his lies, because the Bible says he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Listen, enough of this garbage talk that the devil made me do it, okay? I mean, we give him way too much credit. Yes, on your own, on my own, I am no match for the devil. He'll wipe me out every day on my own. But through Christ, he is nothing, right? But we give him way too much credit. What I'm talking about today is this belt of truth. It's time for the church. It's time for us, Christ followers, to be men and women of God that just are honest, right? And you just say, you know what? I am a broken, messed up, flawed human being just like Pastor Milt. I blew it. I'm sorry. I own that. It's on me. Is there something so terrible about just taking responsibility for our actions instead of blaming the devil? Right? Yes, we live in a broken, fallen world. And there is a devil that wants to steal, kill, and destroy everything that's near and dear to the heart of God. That's you. But I think we've pushed truth aside. We've stopped taking responsibility for our actions. And we'll just blame the devil. And I think that's enough. Be a man or a woman of God and just take responsibility. Say, I messed up. Right? Then you can be just like me. I mess up every single day. Nine ways to Sunday. Is that what this phrase is? I blow it all the time. There's probably some people in this room that I owe apologies to. I've offended. I've hurt. I mess up so much. God loves me anyway. And you ought to as well. Right? But that's just the thing about being honest, being truthful. You know how we've been talking about there's so much more going on around us than what our physical eyes can see, right? That there's that supernatural world that's actually more real than the physical world we're living in. Well, I contend the same is true for us personally. There's so much more going on than just what my voice says. There's so much more going on than just what you see me saying or doing or being. There's that private you, right? There's that private you that nobody gets to see. It's that who you are when no one's looking. It's the you that determines the why you do what you do. It's not a matter of like, I can just say something or I can do something and you see it and you're like, oh, that's awesome. But sometimes there's the motives. There's the why behind the what about you that's paramount, that's so much more important than just the words we say or what we do. There's that private, it's called our character. And that's what I'm talking about today, is our character. It's so much more important than just the words you say. It's paramount. May I be so bold as to say that we've got a truth-telling problem in America? Could I be so bold? Like even marriages. 93% of marriages that end in divorce end because of lies. The lack of truth. We've got a government that can't even spell truth, much less live it out. We got evangelical preachers that are falling for lies, that are refusing to speak truth because they want to protect their tax-exempt status. And they're selling out for a few bucks, and they can't speak truth, at least not all of the truth. It's affecting every area of society. There's a lack of truth. And so today I want to talk about what Jesus and the precious word of God has to say about truth. Number one, let's begin with the power of truth. Write that down. The power of truth. Do you realize there is incredibly raw power in just speaking truth? Which is a good and a bad thing, really. Why is it such an awesome, powerful thing? Because it's in short supply. I mean, it would be a whole nother ball game if just everybody was just used to everybody always telling the truth, that when you spoke the truth, you'd be like, of course you told the truth. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what we do as Christians. We tell the truth. So what's the big deal? But unfortunately, there is incredible raw power these days in speaking truth. I'm going to tell you a true story about an 11-year-old boy that grew up in South Dakota. And one day, he got a slingshot for his 11th birthday. And he lived in town, and so he always went out back and just cut to the chase. It was me, okay? Always went outside shooting my slingshot. Never could hit a thing, right? There's a story. It's another for another time. But I did shoot a rabbit once in the neighbor's yard, and that thing just sat there, you know, kicking and like, oh, man, what do I do, right? Someone told Mom. She's like, well, go get it. I'm like, why? She said, go, you're going to eat it. And I'm like, what? And so I had to take it into the garage, and when Dad got home, we had to clean that thing together, and we had to eat this rabbit. I have not eaten rabbit since. But otherwise, I was always batting zero, shooting at things, never hitting nothing, birds, you know. There's like, don't shoot the neighbor's martens. You know, got a big tree house out there, so what do? You shoot at the neighbor's martens. One day, well, there was a martin sitting on the high line in the alley, and I took aim and shot. And that thing went right over and broke the window of the upstairs bedroom of the neighbor's house. So I went running into the garage, put the slingshot away, and running into the house. Well, Hub, the neighbor, saw that happen. And as it happened, he decided he was going to wait until that evening to confront me in front of my parents so that I'd like feel the full weight of this. And so that evening, he sees Dad's car come into the garage and so like or up to the garage and comes up to the back door, knocks on the door, and I answer it. And there's Dad sitting there in the kitchen. He says, got anything you need to come clean about, young man? But what Hub didn't realize, that this was one of those, unfortunately, rare occasions where I spoke truth. I was not a Christian growing up, full disclosure. But this was one of those times where I went running into the house. I called Dad on the telephone, you know, things with a cord, and told him what I had done so that he would be aware. I then proceeded to empty out all the money that I had from mowing lawns and selling aluminum cans. And I got on my bicycle, went out the front door, got on my bike, and rode up to the lumberyard about three blocks away and said, I want to pay to have this window fixed. I broke it. Honesty was such a rare commodity. This is, you know, a couple years ago. That the lumberyard manager said, I'm going to fix that. Pushed my money back at me and says, thank you for being honest. I'm going to go fix the guy's window, and we're going to pay for it. I'm like, cool, right? So we're standing there, and Hub gets to hear the whole thing that I had already told Dad. I'd already hired the lumberyard to fix his window. And so then Hub went back home, and Dad took me out for ice cream. Coolest thing. Now, I'm not condoning to go out and do something wrong and then be honest about it and expecting to be rewarded, though it was cool. Simply making an illustration that there is power in speaking truth. There is incredible power in just being honest. I mean, sometimes it's not advantageous. It's not lucrative. It may be painful. It may be difficult. It may hurt. It may cause a friendship to be strained. There's lots of different things, but there's such power in just being honest. John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There is power in the truth. Number two, let's talk about the person of truth. The person of truth. Now, we already talked about that the Bible is truth. Amen? But what else is true? Truth. Jesus is, right? John chapter 14 in verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I love how Jesus compares why he came and why the devil came. I love how he makes that comparison. John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You see, the devil comes at us believers just as he has for centuries, to brainwash us, to trick us, to lie to us, to tell us that we can be gods ourselves, that we can be the masters of our own universe, we can be the captains of our own ship. The devil comes as an enemy of the cross, telling us that we can find nirvana, we can find heaven on our own good deeds rather than through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ and the finished work of Jesus on Calvary's hill. You see, our only real defense against the world of darkness, against lies, is truth. Truth that sets captives free and points us beyond ourselves to the one true living God. There's power in truth. We talk about the person of truth. And lastly, I want to mention the purpose of truth. The purpose of truth. Today we live in a world where there's such a lack of character, integrity, morals, honesty, that sometimes the world we live in is just not a very pretty place to be. And it just goes to show that the time of Jesus' return is very, very near. Amen. I mean, let's look at what's happening in Israel, right? God's chosen people in that nation, and stuff is happening. And if you're following and you're praying for Israel, you should be praying for God's will to be done, for him to just to fulfill what he needs to do and setting everything in order. And we look at how dark the days are and how evil and how right is saw as wrong and wrong is seen as right. And we see all these things. We know that the time of his return is imminent. It could happen at any moment. Wouldn't that be awesome? Right? Like, I don't even have to listen to Mill preach anymore. We're just done. Just, whew, here we go. Just, yeah, wouldn't that be awesome? You weren't supposed to be so excited about that, but that's okay, right? I mean, it's right around the corner. We should be excited. We should be looking. We should be praying. We should be anticipating. But until then, we should be busy, busy about the truth. You see, here's the deal. You lose your money, you lose your possessions, you've lost nothing. Listen carefully. You lose family, you lose friends, you've lost something. You lose your health, you've lost something. But I'm here to tell you, you lose your character, you lose your integrity, you lose your trustworthiness, you lose your testimony, you've lost everything. And there's a strong likelihood you won't get it back. It's gone and you don't get it back. That's why as followers of Jesus, we are to guard our integrity and our character and our trustworthiness, our integrity. We are to guard that because there's a strong likelihood that if that goes, it goes and we don't get it back. Why is that so important, though, church? Why is that so important? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus died to make you holy. John chapter 17, it's that beautiful chapter where Jesus spends the whole chapter praying to the Father over you and I. Verse 16. Here's Jesus talking to his Father about you and me. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. Let me ask you a question. Is your integrity really that important? Is your character really that important? Is your trustworthiness really that important? Good. Because if it's not, I would ask you another question. I would ask you, then why is it, if it's not important, then why is it that
Jesus talked about truth three different times in three consecutive sentences while he is talking to the Father about you. Every morning we wake up, we put on the armor, we put on that belt of truth. Let it remind you, as you put on that belt of truth, let it remind you of who you are in Christ. Remember all those things? Let it remind you of who you are in Jesus. Let it remind you of what you stand for. And let it remind you of who you ultimately represent, King Jesus. For I do not know what I would do if I were confronted with a choice of lying or dying. I don't. I am a flawed, messed up human being. But I'd like to think that from the safe confines of this pulpit, from the safe confines of my desk, in the safe confines of being in America, that I would feel pretty confident to say, I would rather die today and face Jesus, having spoken the truth, than to have to stand before him one day and explain why the truth was just too inconvenient or too costly. No soldier in his right mind goes off into battle without putting on every piece of armor that they've been issued and trained how to use. And the same is true for us. Not a single one of you would be wise waking up and going into any day without all of the armor that you have been trained and issued. So up to this point, you've been officially trained and issued, work with me, with the helmet of salvation. Let it remind you every day. Put it on. And you've been trained to put on the breastplate of righteousness and what that reminds you of. Put it on every day. And every day you hold up the shield of faith. Pow! And you let it remind you of some things. And every day you put on that belt of truth. And it reminds you of who you are in Christ, what you stand for, and who you ultimately represent, Jesus. Every day, for you do not know what kind of warfare you're walking into from one day to the next, we are to be prepared. And we are to be truth speakers. Listen, sometimes speaking truth it's costly. Sometimes telling the truth isn't popular. Sometimes telling the truth can be hurtful. But truth remains the truth. And Jesus proclaimed, you will know the truth, and the truth is what sets you free. It's time for God's church to be the church, to shine, and to be Jesus, to live it out the best we can.